So we're going to have a series studying the life of Abraham. And the reason for choosing Abraham is because of his really important place in God's plan of salvation, which is something we'll see. But if we study Abraham, then really we study the roots of the church. We study the beginnings of God's plans and purposes as he began to gather a people in the world. Now, actually, our country and our places that we are very young. But God has been working out his plans for so many thousands of years. You know, even the Luos have been only in Luo land for only 500 years. Jesus Christ had been risen from the dead 1500 years already before the Luos ever came into Luo land. By studying this man, Abraham, it'll help us to go a lot deeper. So you'll see on our sheet, first, we have some reasons for studying his life. If I asked you, who were the really important people in the Old Testament before the coming of Christ? Who are the real big men in the Old Testament? And why? Why would you choose them? The ones really to choose, if we chose just five, we should choose Adam, the first man, the head of the human family. You know, Adam, who first sinned and brought the curse upon us. You know, you couldn't leave Adam out of the story, could you? So Adam. Then next, you'd have to choose Noah, because the human family began again with Noah. Just Noah and his three sons and the four wives that they had between them. They were the only ones to survive the flood. They were the only ones to come out and to start again in a kind of a cleansed world, a purged and purified world. And so we're all the sons, not only of Adam, we're all the sons of Noah. After Noah, the human race split into three under his three sons. And we'll see something of that a bit later. After Noah, you've got to choose Abraham, because of the reasons we'll see as we go forward. The other two, you'd have to choose Moses. The law was given through Moses. The whole old covenant was given through Moses. He was the mediator of that covenant. He led the people out of Egypt. And then you'd have to choose David, who's the greatest king of the Old Testament. Christ came as a son of David. He came as a great king. And David's kingdom was there to shadow the kingdom of Christ, to teach us about the kingdom of Christ. Israel had their greatest victories, and the greatest peace was won for them by the battles fought by King David. Of course, there's many other great figures, but you can't tell the history of the Old Testament without these five, and Abraham's one of them. If we're in the book of Genesis, then there's 14 chapters of the life of Abraham. You see, I put at the top Genesis chapter 12 up to 25. His name is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible. In fact, the whole of the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament after Genesis 12, follows the family of Abraham. Israel is his descendants. And the promises he was given are going forward in the whole of the Old Testament and the whole of the New Testament as well, because Jesus came to fulfill those promises. That's how important he is. Now, we read from Hebrews 11 just now. We're told there that Abraham is one of the heroes of the faith, someone for us to follow and to copy. So we better study him so we know what we're copying. We know what he teaches us. And especially the faith that he had, the trust that he had in God, we are told to copy. And we're shown the challenges God gave him and how he met those challenges. And we're told that we'll face challenges too. And Abraham is the one for us to learn too. He's a model. He was the one God first gave promises that then he passed on to his family, and which his family became Israel, and out of Israel came the church. But he's a real root for us. we need to know about him. Right, now, I've mentioned that he's the father of the nation of Israel. You can't understand any of the Old Testament without understanding where Israel came from and what they were expecting and what promises they were given. He's the father first of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of the 12 tribes who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Actually, not only the Israelites. Do you know there's some other peoples who come from Abraham? The Midianites. We sing in our children's club that Gideon had 300 men. The Midianites had a whole host. Who are the Midianites? Well, they're one of the descendants of Abraham. Not only them, but the Edomites. We read of the nation of Edom. And there's whole books. Well, there's important prophecies which are given to the nation of Edom. Well, they're descended from Abraham too. Moabites and Ammonites, they come from Abraham's nephew. Abraham's nephew was called Lot. And the Moabites and the Ammonites, they come from him. But especially important is that the church ultimately comes from him. With Abraham, God first began to have a family in the world that was separate to all the other families in the world. There had been worshippers of God in the world before. There were holy people in the world before. But with Abraham, God separates his family from the rest of the world. Now, out of that family first came the nation of Israel, and later came the church. But the promises were to Abraham's family. If you read the New Testament, you'll find verses like this one. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul wrote, and he said, "Understand then, those who believe are the children of Abraham." Those who believe are the children of Abraham. You can only join God's family by joining Abraham's family, because that's how God did it. You can only join the church by joining Abraham's family, because they're the same thing. And that then explains a lot of the New Testament that'll make no sense otherwise. You'll be very confused by it. See, in the New Testament, people are always discussing who is in Abraham's family. Maybe you remember a few weeks ago in Luke, John the Baptist said, "Don't begin saying that Abraham is your father, because God can raise up stones to be the children of Abraham." And the Jews were saying, "Abraham is our father." And remember another time they said to Jesus, "Abraham is our father. Now who are you? We don't know you. Where did you come from, Jesus? But Abraham is our father." And Jesus said, "No, he's not. The devil is your father, because you're doing the works of the devil." And so they're having a disagreement, a discussion about the family of Abraham. And it's there in many, many books of the New Testament. So we should study this man so that we can understand something about it and what they were disagreeing about. Now, Abraham met somebody very mysterious and wonderful called Melchizedek, and we'll meet him too when we come to study that. He met somebody who was a great king and a great priest, and who had a lot to teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great king and the great priest. And the New Testament discusses this. It talks about Melchizedek and says that Jesus is a priest just the same as Melchizedek. Well, who's Melchizedek? We'll find out when we study. Abraham had many trials and experiences which are given to teach us, recorded in great detail, these 14 chapters of just him. Because God, the God of Abraham, is our God too. 4,000 years have gone by, but he's the same God. And he has the same dealings with his people today. But the lessons are written there so that we don't have to learn the hard way. Do your children ever have to learn the hard way? You say, don't play with that, you'll hurt yourself. And later on, you see they're still playing with it. You say, don't play with that thing, you'll hurt yourself. And you see they're still playing with it. So you say, well, we better let them learn the hard way. And they hurt themselves. And then they stop playing with it. So, you learned. But that was learning the hard way. We can learn many lessons from the experiences Abraham had. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, he was writing about our fathers in the faith. And he said, these things happened to them as examples. They were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. God's plan was always for the Christian church. But he gave as many examples and illustrations in the Old Testament as he led his people in for us to learn by. Old Testament's like a picture book. We give our children picture books so they can see these things in a really vivid way. Lots of colours, lots of beautiful pictures, and then they learn it quicker. It's like the Old Testament to us. One time when Jesus was discussing with the Jews, or arguing with them, argument I've already spoken about, they said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, Abraham's not your father. Later on, Jesus said, your father, Abraham, he calls him your father, but only in a fleshly way, only according to natural descent, not in the spirit. But your father, Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. He did see it, and he was glad. Abraham knew truths about the coming Messiah. God had spoken to Abraham about Christ, and Abraham believed the promises. And so Jesus said, Abraham, he saw my day, and he was glad. So he can teach us about Christ. Those are the reasons then for studying Abraham. He's a very important figure in the Bible. He's got a lot to show us about how to live for Jesus today. The lessons he learned from his God are lessons for us today about our God and how to have faith in him. Now, today we're just doing an introduction, really. And we're going to ask next, when did he live? What's the point that he lived at? In the Old Testament, it begins with the creation of the world. It begins with the creation of man and Adam. It begins with the sin which Adam committed and how creation was judged. How Adam fell and had to be taken out of Eden. And how the world became a hard and difficult place to live in. The story of the Bible then continues. It tells us how sin flooded the earth, and then God flooded it with his judgment. We read about the family of Adam and his children going down to Noah, also the family of Cain, as that went down, and the things they did, the things that they learned, but the wickedness that grew until there was violence and hatred and trouble over the earth, and God judged it with a flood in the time of Noah. Noah and his family came out, 8 of them out of the ark. It was like a new start, a new beginning. God again sent them out to work in the earth and to bring him fruit and glory from the earth. And God told them to scatter over the earth. But just like Adam sinned, so the children of Noah sinned. There was another rebellion. What's that called? The Tower of Babel. Yeah. God had said, scatter. And the people said, no, we'll stay here. And we'll build our city here. We won't do your work, God. We'll just build what we like in our place. And God came down again to judge them. And that was where the languages came from. He forced them to scatter by confusing their speech, so that one family couldn't understand another family. They couldn't work together anymore. And they learned to fear God, and that they must now go before something worse happened to them. So they scattered over the earth. And the earth became divided. Different families who couldn't cooperate anymore. And, So when it comes to the time of Abraham, you find a divided world with many different families. Now, you see, I've given you this family tree. I hope it makes sense. After the flood, there's Noah. Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, when Abraham was born, Shem was still alive. We come to Genesis chapter 11, and it tells us how many years they all lived. Shem was still alive, even though it's many generations down to Abraham. After the flood, people, their lives began to get shorter. But Noah and Shem lived for a very long time, and some of their descendants too. But after the flood, we should read Genesis chapter 9. We should read what happened in verse 18. It's an important prophecy was given. Help you understand the times Abraham was living in and the promises that God had spoken. So, Genesis 9 from verse 18. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah. From them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Noah, a man of the soil, so he's a farmer, he proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk, and he lay uncovered inside his tent. So he did something shameful. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness. He told his two brothers outside. So Ham, what did he do when his father was in a shameful condition? He didn't cover his shame, but he went and shared it. He went and told the others. So he made his father's shame known to his brothers. But Shem and Japheth, they took a garment. They laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backwards. They covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned the other way, so that they would not see their father's nakedness. So they were more honourable than their brother. Their brother went to share it and seems to joke and to laugh and say, do you know what our father's gone and done? But these two brothers, they covered their faces and they went to cover his shame. When Noah awoke from his wine, found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, cursed be Canaan. The lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers. He also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend the territory of Japheth. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem. May Canaan be his slave. Now, Noah, of course, did a wrong thing when he got drunk. And he was guilty. But these words he spoke, it's clear that they weren't just the words of a man waking out of his drink, but they were words spoken in prophecy. That's why they're recorded for us. They were words even inspired by the Spirit of God. And what did he say? He placed a curse upon Canaan. And he said that Canaan would be a slave. And he said Canaan would be a slave of Shem. Now, if you look at this family tree, you can see that branch of the family with Ham and Canaan, you can see some of the peoples who were there, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, I wonder if you know who any of those people were. Those were the peoples, generally, who inhabited the land of Canaan, i.e. the promised land. They were the people who were later killed by the Israelites. Mostly killed, and some of them became their slaves. They were the peoples who God judged later on. People who lived in a very filthy way, a very dirty way. And later on, the Israelites came to destroy them and to enslave them. Just as this prophecy said. Just as the prophecy said. You see, Abraham was a son of who? He was a son of Shem. Have you ever heard of these words like Semite or Semitic? The Jews are called the Semitic people because they come from Shem. That's where they come from. According to this prophecy, the sons of Shem were to enslave the Canaanites and all those who were with them. And that's what happened. But that's only two brothers. Who's the other one? The other brother is Japheth. And these are the ones generally became the Gentiles scattered in far parts of the earth. I mean, it's all there in Genesis chapter 10. The Genesis chapter 10 has a long list of their sons and the Japhethites. It begins in verse 2. And then it goes on to the Hamites from verse 6. Then it goes on to the Semites in verse 21. But the Japhethites were those who went far away. So the Canaanites and were generally stayed in the Middle East, as did the Semites in that part of the world. And the Japhethites are generally the Gentiles who went far to other places. But what does the prophecy say about them? Verse 27. May God extend the territory of Japheth. Well, he has a very large territory. He has much of the world. But then it says, may Japheth live in the tents of Shem. It says something different. May Canaan be his slave. Japheth comes to inherit the blessings of Shem. He comes to live in his tent. Now you're thinking, I don't get this. It's a prophecy of the Gentiles coming into the family of Abraham. It's a prophecy of the Gentiles coming into the church. When you become a Christian, you join the family of Abraham, which means you've come to stay in the tents of Shem. Okay? That's what the prophecy is. In the prophecy, Noah gives Japheth large parts of the world, but then he says he'll come and live in the tents of Ham. Sorry, in the tents of Shem. That's what we've done. Because the blessings were with Shem. Salvation was to be found in the family of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. But after Jesus came, it went to the whole world. And all the sons of Japheth came into his tents and enjoyed his blessing also, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that prophecy is not just some angry words that Noah said after he was ashamed, after he was shamed by his son. But it's an explanation of the history that was to come and that was to begin especially with Abraham. Now if you look at this family tree, there you've got the family of Abraham. He's a Semite. He's a son of Shem. I haven't put in all the names in there. There's also one called Heber. And because of that, his family were called Hebrews. If you use the word Hebrew, they are son of Heber, which was one in this line. The Semites, the Hebrews, they're the same people. Abraham's father was Terah. Terah had three sons. One was Abraham, one was Nahor, one was Haran. Haran had a son called Lot, therefore Lot is the nephew of Abraham. Terah also had a daughter called Sarah. Not the same mother, not the same wife, but he had a daughter called Sarah. And Sarah married Abraham, half-brother and half-sister, who married each other. Now, I don't recommend you do that, but that's what it says they did. Later on, Abraham says, we've got the same father, though we don't have the same mother. After Sarah died, Abraham married again a woman called Keturah, who she's not on this picture. But he also married Hagar and had a son called Ishmael. But it's through Sarah that they had Isaac And he saw, and there's actually some other lines in here, but I try to make it simple. But that's who Abraham is. He's one of the sons of Shem down this line, eventually coming down to Terah. He married his half-sister. He had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. We later find a place called Haran, named after his brother. So that's who he is. And when we start again next week, we'll start to look at the text. We'll start in Genesis chapter 12, and we'll actually study the things that happened in his life that we're to learn from.